They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me today is Ms. Fatima Mojtabai, and I hope I did not screw up your name, Fatima.
You did perfectly.
Awesome. And I know you're going to do a terrific job, because I want to, for anybody who doesn't know Fatima, she's an advocate for homeowner rights in Massachusetts, and we don't normally have homeowners from Massachusetts for some reason. I don't know why. We don't get them that much. So I'm really thrilled and delighted to have Fatima on. It's not that there are no problems in Massachusetts. Believe me, there are a lot of problems in Massachusetts. So we're going to hear about that. But Fatima's taken it a step beyond, and she has started a national organization called Heart. So, Fatima, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today and talk a little bit about Heart. What does Heart stand for? What did you start doing? Go for it.
Oh, well, you're on. First of all, thank you. Thank you, Sue, for inviting me. It's a real privilege to be on your program and contribute to it for the first time, actually. Before we start, I wanted to ask you if you would allow me to put a disclaimer.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to let your audience know that the views and opinions expressed in this interview are mine and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of HAARRT. That stands for Homeowners Alliance for Accountability, Reform, Responsibility, and Transparency that we're going to be talking about, I think, today.
Well, we're going to talk about whatever you tell us that you're doing, but I'm impressed that you managed to pull together the first national, well, maybe not quite the first national, but you've pulled together a national organization, and you've got members and board members from different parts of the country, and I want to talk a little bit about that, and I want to talk about what you're doing. And so you've got quite a lot of time to fill us in.
Sure. As I said, HAARRT, and there's more information on our website, which is haarrt.net. Basically, it's a grassroots national organization. We're all volunteers, and it's nonpartisan, nonprofit, and homeowner-led. We're all condominium or HOA owners, and we have, as you just said, people from different states. We have people from Arizona, California, state of Washington. I have received some calls recently from another group from, I think, Nevada. So, and we just basically launched, as you know, our website early this month. So it's the first time, actually, this month that we're going public. But this has been in the works for a couple of years that, you know, Sue, you remember we talked about this a couple of years ago.
Absolutely.
That, you know, because I see these problems that I am basically facing, and I was facing in my association. I soon realized this is not isolated problems. These are problems that everybody basically is facing in all across the country. So, and then I realized that, you know, in order to address these problems, one of our main assets is our numbers. So why don't we pull our resources together and try to come up with a solution that works for everybody? Because I don't see these state-by-state changes helping very much. If we can do something on the national level, on the federal level, I think that could be much more effective.
The problem, Fatima, is that a lot of the laws are state laws. So anything you pass nationally is not necessarily going to take away from what we have in Virginia, what you have in Massachusetts. Those laws are going to stay there, which is why you almost have to work at the state level.
Yeah, true. I understand that. And that's, I see it very, this is very similar to corporations. You know, you have, for corporations, you have state laws and then you have federal laws. And with the regulatory and oversight that you have for corporations, especially public ones on the federal level, then it works very nicely because usually these federal laws also, they get into state laws. And so I think, let me tell you a little bit about how I came up with this name, H-A-A-R-R-T. Do you want me to tell you?
Absolutely. I want you to tell us everything you want to tell us.
Okay. So about our name, it's inspired by the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of that Congress enacted in 2002. If you remember, the Enron and Tyco and WorldCom financial scandals with accounting malpractices and so on. That's how Congress... it got the attention of the Congress that, you know, we need to impose some reforms to improve financial disclosure so that investors don't lose their confidence. And one of the bills in the House was called Corporate and Auditing Accountability, Responsibility, and Transparency Act. So I thought, gee, that's exactly what we need in the condo HOA industry. And I think, so that's where our name comes from. I changed corporate to homeowners and Alliance for Accountability, Responsibility, and Transparency because I believe it is time that the Congress takes a close look at these HOA and COA financial malpractices, the fraud, it's systemic fraud going on. Theft, embezzlements, and the requirement to enact some regulatory standards that could improve financial disclosures from associations, prevent financial fraud and embezzlement. So basically that's what we want to do. We want to first expose this systemic financial malpractice and fraud because as much as it's going on, I don't know why not many people know about this. And then demand regulatory oversight and enforcement measures that can improve financial disclosure and transparency in homeowner and condominium, in general association governed communities. And also protect investors. And I consider us homeowners, investors, we're investing in our homes. So to protect us against association, financial, abuse, theft, and embezzlement.
And the homeowners are stake owners. You own the stake. The industry, the developers, and local municipal governments are stakeholders. And they also have a stake in there. And
I'm not sure with as many people that are feeding at the trough of the homeowners' homes at private property, that there's any amount of oversight and regulation that's going to fix this. I think the whole thing, as you said, it's systemically flawed, the whole concept. I would like to take it a step further and just eliminate them. You really and truly, even in condominiums, you really and truly do not need the governance that goes along with it. You are the owners, and it's the owners that should be making the decisions together. Not being told what to do and how to do it. It's the owners who then will tell the managers, who are hired hands, what to do and to report back to the owners as a whole. That, hey, wait a minute, you know, you wanted the hallways painted. I brought in 3 bids, recommendation for bid number 2. I hired them, and work is going to begin on such and such a date. And then you report back, but you don't make the decisions. The decisions are made by the owners. But we've made a mockery of the whole idea of ownership in this country. It's just an absolute tragedy.
Well, I totally agree with you. I only don't agree on the part that we made a mockery, because
we as the homeowners, but we as all the stakeholders. This is the legislators,
right,
who've been bought by special interests and who have passed legislation empowering managers, empowering board members, empowering industry members to go ahead and have, you know, on your Facebook page, you say the reason for HEART is to empower the members. But, you've got to strip away the powers of the industry. I mean, it's got to go. And when I say we, I mean legislators are a big part of that. And I have talked to them, and I have said, you know what, between you, meaning the legislation, and CAI, you have made a total mockery of Hearth and Home. And they agree with me. They totally agree with me.
Well, they may agree with you, but when push comes to shove,
They can be bought.
What really matters is that whether those bills that can protect homeowners are enacted. And in Massachusetts, we are seeing the same bills get refiled over and over again, and they go to the study that, in other words, killed. They don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And when they go over somewhere, like we had a bill for, it was Senate Bill 723 a couple of years ago, to, you know, when you're looking for financial records, documents, they could, if they don't give it to you and you take them to court, the association has to pay for your legal bills. And that's, you know, very reasonable. But by the time it passed the Committee on Housing, it got watered down, and they made some amendments to it that it got to a point that I had to write to the legislature that, you know, this is worse than not even having a bill. It's going to hurt homeowners more because they put this qualifying language there.
Yeah, and who does that? The industry. And how? And why do the legislators buy into it? Because they've been bought. Because your money is being used to pay off these legislators, to buy them.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking in campaign contributions. It's very clear who is contributing. Not terribly clear, but it is.
Yeah, they take them out to dinner. They host cocktail parties for them. All of this stuff. And they're using your money and my money to do that. And so the legislators, okay, whatever you want, just let me know. And the thing is, they'll say, I'm here representing the homeowners, and the homeowners want. Because when I got involved in all of this 30 years ago, I would call my legislators and say, what the hell do you think you're doing? I mean, what are you thinking of? Why are you doing this? And they go, well, because you want it. I go, what? I never told you I wanted. Well, your representatives say they're representing you, and this is what the homeowners want. You're out of the loop, Shu. I don't think so. I absolutely do not think so. So there's a lot of lying.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it. I mean, I went to testify this October for, we had six bills that we wanted to go through, one of them. We don't have any election requirements for election, and elections are basically, it's a circus when we have an election in my association. I mean, it's managed by the management company that, and the law firms who with direct financial interest in the outcome.
Yep.
So somebody like me never gets on the board. And so we were, one of them was election bill. The other one was open law meeting. Like in my association, all our board meetings except for the annual meeting are now closed meetings. Sorry, we had two additional meetings in the past 3 months. I mean, why? What is there to hide, Shu?
Why are they closed meetings? Why don't you have open meeting requirements? I mean, there's still ways around it, and they do it in Virginia, for instance. You are not allowed to have, at least you weren't allowed to have, I haven't checked to see if they've changed those laws, but you weren't allowed to have executive committee meetings. The only time you could have an executive committee meeting is if you went into an executive meeting from an open meeting. So the homeowners would be sitting there, and one of the board members would say, I move that we go into executive committee to discuss A, B, C, and D, and they'll claim they're just collections matters or something, that items that can be discussed in closed session. And
yeah.
Then they're supposed to come back and in front of the homeowners vote on matters. A, you're supposed to vote. So the vote is taken in public, but they don't do that. You know, that's basically the law, and that's the problem, because there are some good laws there designed to protect the interests of the homeowners, but you know what? They're never enforced. The homeowners don't know about them. The board members don't know about them. The management and the attorneys are especially not going to say, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that. You've got to go into open session and hold the vote. But the thing is, you don't know what else they talk about since it is a closed session. They're only supposed to talk about A, B, C, and D, and that's exactly what the motion was. But once they're in closed session, who knows what they talk about?
Yeah, well, that's the case. Unfortunately, we don't have an open meeting law in Massachusetts, Condominium Act. So they can do whatever they want. And they decided to close all the meetings. So there we go. And so legislatively, we're really not going anywhere. And so what do we do? We want to do, you know, several things, not only legislative action. We're working. We're not giving up. We just started, okay? And these bills are already, we were too late for this session, but one of the things we need to do is to get organized so that when the CAI lobbyist comes and says, we are the voice of condominium owners. They said, we're the voice of everything that has to do with condominiums. I say, no, you're not. You're not representing, 2.5 million condominium owners in Massachusetts. You're representing, CAI is a, what, the trade organization. I mean, by that, their obligation is to their members, which are, a lot of them are lawyers, condominium lawyers, management companies, landscapers, debt collectors, things like that. They are not representing my interests. In fact, they have been involved in preventing some of the bills that could protect my interests from becoming law. So we want to make sure that the legislature understand that, you know, CAI is not representing our interests. And
that's
they know it.
They know it.
Well, they can't claim they didn't know because
we
didn't know.
You know what they say? You know how to tell when a legislator is lying?
No.
Their lips are moving.
I'm sorry?
Their lips are moving.
Oh, okay.
So the fact that I didn't know, that's absolute and utter nonsense. They know.
Yeah.
They know full well. And if they don't know, they don't belong where they are. Get them out of there. But the thing is, they can all be bought, and that's a big, big problem in this country. Huge.
Well, yeah, but here is where our asset is, and that's our numbers, because, you know, they're different ways. At the end of the day, what the lawmakers, they want to get reelected.
Yes.
Well, so there are different ways you can bring them votes.
Yes, absolutely.
And so this is what we want to do. In fact, I was talking to my own legislature and said, oh, we're putting up a petition, and maybe if we can get 50 petitions from people in Massachusetts. She said, are you kidding me? You need to have 100 people calling my office before, you know, and the same for all these other people. In other words, she was telling me we need thousands of people to come together and make our lawmakers to act. One or two people is not enough.
You're absolutely right. And I've talked to legislators so often, and there have been some really good legislators who would not be bought. And they have come up with some outstanding bills. And when they've gone and presented their bills, they've turned around and not a single homeowner was there pushing for it. The homeowners decided that it was their job to do it, and they just went to the ice cream parlor or did whatever it was they were doing, went to the beach or took a nap or went to the movies. But the fact is, you have to be there and you have to push back.
You have until the last minute. You can't leave a bill.
Right.
The very last minute, a change in a comma, an and, or an or can change the whole bill.
It can. So, it does.
And the problem is that we're not lobbyists. We were kind of inexperienced. So, but that's the problem. You know, when I went testify, there were three, four other people, homeowners in the room, and they didn't come forward to talk and say, why didn't you come forward? And one of them said, okay, my legislator is gonna take care of it. He's not. You have to let them know that you are there.
You have to be angry. I know I went down to Richmond one day and I was going to testify, or I was going to speak about a bill, and the legislator who was handling that, I said I wanted to talk. Oh, you don't have to sign up. I said, well, I want you to know that I do want to talk about this bill when it comes up. And Frank and I went down together, and usually I go first, and then Frank figures out what it is they want. So we kind of set the stage, basically. And they put it to a vote. I said, hey, wait a minute. I told you I wanted to speak. I said, too bad. We've put it to a vote. I said, not too bad. I went up and I grabbed the microphone and I stood in front of the legislators, and I glared at him. He was glaring at me. I glared right back at him, and I said, you knew I wanted to talk. And I said, you're bloody well going to listen, because I came all the way from Northern Virginia down here to talk to you, and you'd better have the decency and the good manners to at least. He was pissed. I mean, he was absolutely pissed. The fact is that it had been put to a vote to make sure that I didn't get a chance to talk, that Frank didn't get to talk behind me, but the thing was, we did talk. And I think you need to be angry with them. Don't be intimidated by them. Don't let them get away with all this garbage. Just go after them. You don't have to be obnoxious, but protect your right to speak. Protect your right to
comment. It's your life. And these buggers are just ruining it.
Yeah, that's exactly where the problem is. And we have to stop this. And that's our aim, to, you know, expose the abuse and the fraud that's going on, and for the interest for the industry, basically. Everything is geared towards the interest of the industry with total disregard of what the interest of homeowners is. And it's eventually, I'm pretty sure it's going to show up in the way that the, I don't know, maybe it won't be as big as the Enron crisis or something like that. But when property values drop eventually, because the more these situations, so I wanted to say that these embezzlement and theft have very, very, very different forms and shapes in condo HOA association. And they are very specific schemes that are, it's like cookie cutter schemes that are exercised in my association here in Massachusetts. You see the same thing in Arizona and the same thing in the state of Washington. So they know exactly what they're doing, and so should we. So unfortunately, homeowners, you know, this is the first time actually we're talking with people together, we're exchanging ideas, we're brainstorming, and we homeowners need to get also educated how to protect themselves against these schemes, ongoing schemes. Because I heard in one of your talks you said there was a case, I think you were talking about, like they went after a homeowner. I think it was Jonathan DeSalles who was talking about that they prevented one of his clients from using the pools in an upscale. Yeah, and then you said something, you know, this is, I forgot what you said. You said this is,
I mean, that's pretty routine.
It doesn't make any sense. You said it doesn't make any sense. And I wanted to say that, yeah, it depends. If you think about on the surface, it doesn't make any sense. You know, how could a, you know, violation, or I don't know exactly what that person was doing, but how could a violation or having a purple collar or a swing set or something like that. Actually, let me talk about this case, McDermott versus Meeb, here in Massachusetts. I think we talked about it and didn't have time to really tell you.
Okay.
This is a case in Massachusetts that a guy in Lynn, Mass, he falls behind, I don't know, with some $25 fees. And then they get into a fight, I believe, with one of the trustees, typical. And the trustee hires Marcus Errico, MRM Brooks, which is one of the largest condominium law firms here in Massachusetts. And a case of several 25 late fees turns into a large-scale lawsuit. And eventually, Philip Cahalan, attorney Philip Cahalan, who is now on our board, he goes to McDermott's help and files a lawsuit against Meeb. And it took Philip Cahalan intense effort over several years to prove in federal court that Meeb was not only in violation of the Federal Fair Debt Collection Statutes, but also Massachusetts Consumer Protection Act. Now, how many of these cases have been going on without going to court?
Actually, there have been a lot that have gone to court, and the homeowners have won.
Did win.
There are a lot of them. I have several of them on my website. I have not been tracking them. But, no, if you go in the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act and sue under that, there are some good protections in there. In fact,
CAI has been lobbying really hard at the federal level to exempt associations from the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act. And I had someone on, actually, I was on another show out of Las Vegas years and years ago, and one of the collectors was on the show. And so I had the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act in front of me. And so he's talking about how, oh, this shouldn't apply to the homeowners and the bill collectors and yada, yada, yada. And I said, why? Why shouldn't it apply to you? He said, it makes it difficult for me to do my job. I said, your job is? Well, to collect past dues. I said, what makes it so difficult? And I actually went through the list of what they couldn't do. They couldn't lie, couldn't call you in the middle of the night. They couldn't charge you for additional fees that you don't own. They couldn't do this. They couldn't. I mean, there were these just basic privileges. I said, you want to lie to your customers? He said, oh, no, not me. So you want to charge them for fees that they don't owe? Oh, no, not me. So I went through and asked every one of them. I said, that's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. So what part of that is making it difficult for you to do your job? Oh, none of it. And I was the host called me later, and he said, Shu, you should have seen his face. He just went bright red, and he just kept shrinking and shrinking and getting smaller in his chair. You don't need to fight and yell and scream. You just get down to the thing and just ask them. So here it is. What part of this is making it difficult for you?
Yeah, so you see, it does make a lot of sense because it's all about money, you know, because this $25 late fees, I see it as a mind game that they're playing with homeowners.
It's not a mind game. It's a theft game. They're stealing because they can. It's easy money. And the fact is, if you go to the police, if you go to your legislator, they're going to say, and this is what I've been told a number of times by these people, it's a civil matter. We can't deal with it. And that's where it needs to change. Because if you can walk into a 7-Eleven and steal a packet of gum and have the police come and arrest you for it, then stealing $8 million out of your HOA or your condominium is all of a sudden a civil matter and they can't deal with it. That has got to change. That has absolutely got to change. Of course, I'm not sure that the FBI is going to do such a brilliant job with it. But
oh, no, they have bigger things, fish to fry.
Well, somebody said it's the Federal Bureau of Incompetence, and I think it is.
But, no, it's not a matter of incompetence. I mean, they did go after the Nevada case, which was a $58 million case. And even for FBI, that turned out to be a very, very complex case. Because the problem with these cases is that it's not the easy ones are the ones that, you know, there's one, I don't know, treasurer or a board member or a management company, it steals, that's it. Those are easy to catch and go after. The other ones are so complex that it took FBI 8 years to unravel the Nevada case. And most of these are this way because it involves many actors, association lawyers. It involves board members that they put in charge to approve all this theft and embezzlement. It involves a management company, a construction company. That makes it so difficult, and they have everything they need in their power to cover up their track.
They do,
basically.
But you know, and I've had Senator Mike Schneider from.
Yeah, I heard that was a brilliant, brilliant.
I've had him on a number of times, and his claim is the only reason they were able to get the FBI involved is because. He said that, and I'm not sure how accurate this is. I'm going to pass it on with, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But he says that they amended the statutes in Nevada to say that HOAs and condominiums were in fact a fourth layer of government, so that it took it out of the private realm in the sense that they made it a quasi-government issue. So now that's why the FBI was able to get into that. True or not, I don't know, but worth looking into. One of the things that I've been told by legislators, and I feel like slapping them, and I'm not violent, but they've said, so it's your fault, you bought in, why did you buy into one of these? The fact that there are no options, the fact that these benefit local municipal governments because you have no choice. They want you to pay their taxes, your property taxes, but they don't want to provide you with anything. So they mandate HOAs, condominiums, and now we're going through this baloney about having increased density because it's smart growth, apparently. It's absolute junk and garbage. There are no parking lots left. They've all got high-rise condominiums in them,
yeah.
which is quite stupid. So to say, well, you bought into one of those, it's your fault, it's just one of the most asinine things to say.
No, that's definitely not a professional.
And the thing is, we've got
to address the problem.
We've got a crisis, and I'm not sure that sort of nibbling around the edges, trying to fix this, that, and the other, is really going to help us, Eddie, at all. I think we've got some serious problems in this country, and your home is at risk.
I'm sorry?
Your home is at risk. Your home and my home, they're both at risk.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because when there is a theft, embezzlement, you know, somebody has to pay for it. And if you don't go after the one who's stolen, it's going to come as a $1 million theft means $1 million special assessment that comes through the mail that you have to pay for, or actually distributed between the number of people. So, yeah, we have to address this. And I don't know if you've seen this report by Nevada Association of Realtors that they looked at foreclosures, the effect of foreclosures on property values. Because one of the things that CAI keeps saying is that, oh, we need all these rules and fines and fees in order to protect property values or increase property value.
Nonsense.
I don't buy into that because I think these fees and fines are predominantly, I mean, I'm not saying they are not necessary, but I'm saying is
I am saying they're not necessary.
The way they are being used or abused is actually hurting the very same associations who are using these schemes, and the only ones who are winning are the lawyers.
Fining homeowners for alleged infractions has got to stop. It has got to stop. That is the most abusive and horrendous thing. You've got one neighbor fining another because they don't like the color of your rose bushes, or because you didn't get permission to have that hose because you've got dust on your mailbox.
Well, as I said, these are all, again, it's a mind game. The reason I'm saying it's a mind game is because they're using these schemes in order the rules. I mean, there are so many rules that can be violated, and any one of them can lead to a $200,000 lawsuit. And not only, so one case, again, it was Jonathan DeSalt's case, which I could it involves one of our directors, so I know quite a bit
okay.
about that case, is that, you know, they go after this person, and then they, fortunately, Jonathan DeSalt, he he represents her in court, and only the attorney fees was that court awarded was $150,000, and we estimate the other side, the association lawyers, probably charged the association another $150,000 or more. So here is $300,000 or more for what? For preventing a person to, I don't know, go to pool or violating some, I don't think she was even violating any rules. It was just that they didn't want to allow her to go to the pool. So who is losing? The association is losing. And that's silly, isn't it?
It's a power play between a board member or a manager or the entire board and versus a homeowner. Because they want the power to be able to tell you. There's a difference between
rules. So that's exactly what my point. It's a mind game. It's that they're using the worst in human nature to make money out of it. Every single of these situations ends up if it ends up in court, who wins? Not the association, not the person. It's the lawyers. So it's a mind game, and what we want to do is teach people, our, you know, homeowners, how to play the same game. I don't know if you're, my son used to play tennis, so I had to watch a lot of things. They have, for tennis players, in tennis they say it's 80% mind game and 20% physical. I say in condominiums it's 100% mind game because why don't we make some train people the same way you train a tennis player for what do they call it, mental toughness training? This is what we need to teach homeowners, to learn how to play these games to their advantage. Don't let them play you. All right? And there are very simple techniques that homeowners can use to protect themselves, not to get involved into these situations that $25 fee ends up in a $100,000 bankruptcy. So these are some of the things that we want to do. Educate homeowners how to protect themselves, educate lawmakers so that, you know, they know what's going on. The media, I think that's very important. Use the media to broadcast what's going on. And more importantly, connect the dots. I think I'm glad you brought it up that you have something on your website. We want to show more of these cases, like the one I mentioned, McDermott versus Meeb, and like the Jonathan DeSalis case. We want to, what I call this project, Connect the Dot Project, to show that these are not isolated cases, as CAI lobbies come and tell the lawmakers. This is a systemic, I call it a housing crisis, basically.
And you know what?
A national housing crisis.
I started a website called From the HOA Trenches, and the reason for that website is so that homeowners could tell their own stories in their own words, because how many times have you given an interview to a reporter and found out when the story comes out, is printed, that it's just so totally different from anything you said? Or they'll just come up with their own ideas and you ask them, what the hell were you thinking? Oh, well, I thought. Don't think. This is people's opportunity to put their stories in their own words, tell us what they want to tell them. And unless there's something really horrific, it will not be edited. It will be put up there. The reason I started this is so that people will find out, or so that legislators can go and say, all right, you know, I'm seeing the same trends from the homeowners. Here's something that's happening in Nevada, something in Massachusetts, something in New York, something in Florida, something in Illinois, something in Iowa. And in fact, these are
not isolated incidents. It's not me telling them, hey, don't buy into that nonsense. It's not you saying, oh, I keep hearing these stories all the time. The fact is, they can go, because each one of those stories is written by the person who has suffered it in each of their states, so they're not isolated incidents. The website's there. It's always on my promo. You can go and click and put your story in there. Give us some meat to the stories, not just I'm being abused. I mean, put some meat into it. This is what's happening to me. We want people to write their stories. We want the stories out there.
Yeah, this is very helpful. I mean, it was very helpful to me because they, one of the things they do is they isolate you. They target you. They want to isolate you within your own association. And I soon find out that, you know, it's not about me.
No,
it's not. It's about the money. And they do this to everybody. So we need to, you know, fortunately with this network that we have, we started talking and I realized, you know, this is just what they do.
Yeah, it is.
So learn how to not let them play you, and, you know, be smart about it and, you know, do the right thing. And this is very difficult. I mean, it's easier said than done. It's not easy once you're targeted. It's a very, very difficult situation.
It is.
And
you become,
I feel really bad. I hear these stories. People call us from all across the country that, you know, they come after them. They are for ridiculous reasons. And so I think this is another thing that we want to do. We want to have this a strong network of people helping, homeowners helping each other, support groups that we have in, hopefully, in every state soon, to be able to, you know, talk with homeowners, support them when they're going through the crisis, and also have try to have a network of lawyers. I hope people are listening to your show today would come to us if you're a lawyer, if you know how to about these condo HOA schemes. We need you. Let us have your join our legal committee, and I promise it's not gonna take a lot of time. But we need lawyers on homeowners' side to also write amicus briefs when these cases to go to court. Also, you know, have maybe even a legal aid at some point if we can raise some funding for to be able to defend, pick up certain cases and defend them if we see, you know, there's been real abuse.
We're kind of running a little bit low on time here.
Okay.
But one thing you said earlier is about the sheer number of homeowners, and I have always said there's more of us than there are of them, and I think you're onto something there. That is something that we really need to keep in mind, that there are more of us. The problem is getting all of us on the same page, and that's been the problem, because you have people saying, no, the problem is this, and no, the problem is that, and we want to work on this, and we want to work on that. So if you can gather all these lost souls who are out there just stomping mad, because that's in essence what they are, and pull them all together under one umbrella and get them all focusing on one thing that you want to do, I think you would be a miracle worker. I really do, and more power to you.
Yeah, I, as you mentioned, there are so many different issues, so we have to focus our attention. So we've picked up, I think, two or three that we want to work on. The legislative action, the education part is very important. And then connecting the dots is very important, because it shows the lawmakers that these are real issues. They're not something that, you know, people are making up, or as they call them, disgruntled homeowners. No, these are real issues.
Isolated incident. It's someone
and they're
who's
not
just
isolated incidents for sure.
The industry will say to me, so what is it you did that got you so upset? I go, no, I just got upset because I think what you're doing is abusive and ridiculous. The other thing I want to focus on a little bit is your website, and it's haarrt.net. And one thing I was very, very taken with, impressed by, and I think is just an absolutely perfect slide, and I was talking about it before we went on the air, is where you have all of these problems that kind of flash on and flash off. There's no way you can read them all. Elder abuse, fraud, election fraud, theft. There are just so many of them, and just trying to read them, it flashes off. Fortunately, it flashes back on again. But it's an incredible visual, because what this basically says is that the problems are huge. I don't think I saw a single problem there that was listed that is not a serious issue in any given condo or HOA across the country.
Right. No, well, thank you. I'm glad you liked that one, because, yeah, it took some time to put all of them together, but they're numerous and they're big, yeah.
They're huge, and I was really impressed with that slide. I love that slide.
Thank you.
I love the fact that it sort of flashes on and flashes off, because if you stop and think about it, that's exactly what's going on. It's really hard for anybody to get their arms around the real problem, because there's no real problem. There are a whole lot of real problems.
Exactly, right. All different
so if you can,
colors and shapes and forms and, yeah.
So if you can harness, and it sounds like you're getting a good start to pulling this all together, if you can harness the people, we the people, the sheer number of us that's out there, and get us focusing in the right direction, because you have a lot of homeowners who are doing CAI's work unwittingly, and you go, hey, why are you doing that? That's not good for them. Oh, no, we need to do that. So if you can get them working on the right thing, I think you would be an absolute miracle worker. So you have a little bit of more than a minute to tell us what you want to tell us and invite people to.
Right. So I just wanted to say, it's not just me. There are at least, we have now a dozen or so people who are helping out, and we could really use as many people, as much help as we can get to address this problem. So I encourage people to go to our website and, join us. And, it's just a click of a button, and you'll be on our database, and we will let you know if anything goes on. We need people in different states, advocates in different states to represent their states, so we can work all together, and hopefully we come up with a solution, because, as you said, we have the numbers. There's estimated 70 million residents in condominium and HOAs, and if we gather just 1% of it, you know what that's going to be? That's 700,000 members. That's a good number to start with, right?
Trying to get everybody
1%.
I'm a Toastmaster, as most of my listeners know, and I give speeches in different clubs, and I speak quite often. And quite often I will talk about either pending legislation, or I'll talk about a case or something. And what I have is people coming up to me and saying, you mean some associations? I go, no, I mean all associations. I go, well, no, you see, I don't have that problem in my association. Oh, good. Where do you live? And so they tell me, and I go, but you were in the papers the other day. Yeah, I know, but you don't understand. We don't have that problem. I go, but I hear from people in your association. Yeah, but you don't understand. We don't have the problem. The guy next door does, but we don't have the problem. So in other words, unless it's happening to them, it's just a problem that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame them because a lot of these people are kept in the dark intentionally. That's why they don't know.
They know about it. Fatima, absolutely. Good luck. Thank you. Please come back.
Thank you so much.
Please come back and let us know how you're doing.
Oh, sure. It would be a pleasure. And thank you so much for the opportunities.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.